Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." And Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet and put on his robe and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of the Lord, the good news. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this night and all nights. Amen. For much of this Lenten season, which culminates in this Holy Week, we have embedded ourselves into the gospel readings that depict Jesus' interactions with others. In having folks step into the roles of Jesus, of the Samaritan woman at the well, of the man born blind, of Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, we have used dramatic interpretation to better hear these stories. Stories that depict Jesus, God incarnate, the Word made flesh, the divine in human form, intervening in the lives, in the everyday experiences of everyday folks. People a whole lot like you and me. It's been a helpful tool, I think, these dramatic readings of such important stories. It's been helpful to hear them in a new way. It's a good thing, I think, from time to time, to hear things in a new way, especially things we know so well, like a surprising new interpretation or cover version of a song we love, or a remake of a movie that we've seen 100 times. These new ways of encountering the known have a way of discombobulating us a little, maybe making us a little uncomfortable, make us cock our heads and make a face and say, well, that's not how I know it. But also, they can often make us then lean in a little closer, listen a little harder, so that we might feel something unexpected or learn something we didn't notice before. When we engage with the familiar in an unfamiliar way, at the very least, it can help us to recognize or reaffirm that which we already knew we liked about it. But sometimes, if we're lucky, we might just fall in love with it all over again. Be transformed in new and unexpected ways by something we thought we knew by heart. Heck, we might even learn a little something new about ourselves in the process. The story that we hear tonight is a story we hear on this night every year, year after year after year, over and over again. On the night before the festival of the Passover, Jesus gathers with his disciples for supper, and in the midst of eating and talking and doing what people do when they gather around a table, he gets up, rolls up his sleeves, gets some water and a towel, and starts washing his disciples' feet. They are confused at this gesture. Why is our teacher, our rabbi, our friend, our Messiah, our Lord doing the work of a slave and serving us? So Jesus, as always, teaches them. Do as I have done for you. Set your privilege and power and customs and fear aside and wash the feet of your friends. Sublimate yourself for the sake of others. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. We know this story, don't we? We know these words, right? We know the scene, the players. We know what happens next. We know that what Jesus will say. We know what Judas will do. We know what Peter will deny. We know that we will leave here in silence tonight and return tomorrow to hear the horrors of what is to come. And we know that on Sunday morning there will be trumpets and lilies and egg bakes and jelly beans and joyful songs sung before an empty tomb. We know this story. We know how it all goes. We know it by heart. We know how it all works out in the end. It's easy to sit and listen, to let it all wash over us, to go through the motions, knowing what we know. We can just have the usual Holy Week experience that we've come to rely on, the experience we've been looking forward to, right? Or even just do the things we're supposed to do, fulfill our Christian obligation this week. I mean, it is easier, after all, isn't it, going through this whole thing, knowing what we know. Makes the tragedy a little less tragic, the scary movie a little less scary when we already know how it ends, right? I mean, it is hard, after all, to not know what we already know, isn't it? Let me ask that again. It's hard to not know what we already know, isn't it? And yet, it's something we do all the time. We even have a phrase for it, the willing suspension of disbelief. Have you ever heard that phrase before? It's what makes it possible for us when reading a novel or watching a play or movie or TV show to get so wrapped up in the plot and characters that we forget that they aren't real, that they are the figments of some writer's imagination, that they are roles played by actors, that their stories have been preconceived, their fates cast in stone, or ink anyway. And so we cheer and we shriek and we cry and are transported by the power of good storytelling. The power of good storytelling and our ability to willingly suspend our disbelief, to not know what we already know. When we hear this story tonight, when we hear the stories we will hear over the next few days, it can be easy for us to forget to lose ourselves. It can be easy to judge what is happening, to shake our heads and, can you hear that? I don't have enough moisture in my mouth. Tisk, 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 right? Knowingly at Judas's submission to evil. We can snicker and roll our eyes again at Peter's too big displays of his own righteousness. It can be so easy for us to look at these characters, Judas, Peter, and the rest of the disciples, and see them not only in the story we hear tonight, but the story we know by heart. It can be so easy for us to look at them and know, just know, that if it had been us, if we had been there, we would have done better. Which is easy for us to say, because we know the story. We know better. We know who Jesus is. We know who we are. We know what we know, you know? It's hard to not know what we already know. It's hard not to rely on our own experience, our own confidence, our knowledge of how the story of our own certainty, of how just how the world works, how God works. We know that this story about Jesus washing the disciples' feet, this story about Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, this story of persecution and torture, of death and resurrection, of self-giving love for the sake of the world, of the empty tomb on Easter morning, we know that this story is the story of what God does, don't we? Don't we? Isn't this also a story about us, too? Isn't that us standing there, knowing that we will walk away from what is best for all in order that we might get a little bit ahead of the rest? Isn't that us jumping up to prove our goodness to the people we admire so that all the others can see just how right we are? Isn't that us shouting down the experience and work of others simply because they didn't go about it the way we had to? Isn't that us looking the other way when our neighbors are in need because, well, it makes us uncomfortable? Isn't that us who acquiesced to what we knew to be wrong just so we could get along? Isn't that us who stood by and shouted, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him? And yet, isn't that us who have been cared for in our time of need? Isn't that us who have found love in a gathering of friends and strangers? Isn't that us whose very selves have been changed for the better by the relationships we share with one another? Isn't that us who have been fed when we were hungry, consoled when we were in grief, Isn't that us who have been set free from guilt by undue and unexpected forgiveness? Isn't that us who see our Lord, our God, bowing before us even now to wash our dirty feet? Yes, it is hard to not know what we already know. It is hard to let go of our preconceived notions, our tightly held expectations, to experience something we know so well as if it is happening for the first time. Yes, it is hard to not know what we already know, hard to know something anew. Hard, maybe, but better. Please pray with me. God of mercy, we humble ourselves before you. Help us to hear you in new ways. Open our eyes and ears and hearts to these stories we know so well. Help us to see ourselves in ways that challenge us, that provoke us, that lead us toward you and one another, so that the world might know us by our love, your love. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.